Man, I'm ready to go. I love the vision of those trips. And I love how it builds hearts. And I hope that your heart wants to get built. It's a great, great thing for you to check out and look into. Well, I'm going to try to build your heart today. I'm pretty excited about this talk. I really am. This, what I'm going to talk about today is something that's been a core part of my life for 35 years, I think it is. 35 years. It's really, really important. And just to recap what we came from last week, we're not in any campaign. There's no campaign happening here at Crossroads. No campaign even planned for the future at Crossroads, okay? No time in this series are we ever going to have cards that you can fill out if you want to and come forward. That's we've done that kind of stuff in the past. That's not what we're doing here at all. We're talking about what it means to be blessed. And I talked about last week about the first time I went to a rainforest in New Zealand, there was a definitive way or definitive kilometer marker where you got into the rainforest and then a specific kilometer marker that you got out of the rainforest. And I want us to get into the zone of the rainforest, or what the Bible would refer to as being blessed. A place where there is spiritual moisture, a place where there is an awareness of God, a place where there is lushness, and where there is life, and where there is growth. I want that for everybody I know and can think of. That's what it means to be blessed. And so we're going to continue on with that next step today. And let's pray before I do that. So God, I thank you, you're a God who blesses. I thank you, you're a God that wants to shower things upon us. I thank you that you're a God that never gives up, and you are always patient and always waiting. And Lord, I feel like you've been patient and you've been waiting on a number of us, and I'm excited because I think a number of us are not going to make you wait any longer. At least that's what I pray that happens today. Help me to be clear, helpful, and most importantly, in alignment with your truth. I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. So this is the day. Just so you know, I'm just going to tell you what you can expect. I'm going to put it out front for you. This is the day that you accuse me of ulterior motives. Seriously, this is that day. This is that day where I say things that I know is going to get under your skin, and I'm going to get more than my normal fair share of emails. This is that day. This is that day where it looks like I am being condemning, and I'm not. There may be some things that happen today where you might feel conviction, but there is zero interest in me to make you feel unworthy. Zero. But this is the day where you may think that that's my point. This is the day that I play into some of your fears for what a megachurch pastor does, thinks, and believes. This is that day. So I just want to state that up front. I know exactly what I'm walking into. I know it, and I welcome it. Because to the core of my being, the core of my relationship with God, I've seen what I'm talking about over and over and over, and I want you to have it. I've seen what I'm going to talk about today happen in hundreds of people's lives who I've personally counseled, not just people who I've kind of talked to, but hundreds of people who I've personally counseled and followed up with and discipled, and I'm excited to bring this in today. Do you know that for everyone in here, there is a test that you regularly take? Now, you might be going like this, what test? Yeah, that's exactly what I did all of my educational years. What test? I hated that. I would go in and I would sit down at my desk, and teacher would start passing out tests, and I'd go like, what test? Is this a pop quiz? What test? What test? And so many times it was in the syllabus at the beginning of the class. I just didn't pay attention. There's a reason why in college I took accounting 1 3 times, okay? I didn't start getting my stuff together educationally until I got to seminary. But there is a test, and I'm telling you right now, not I'm telling you, God is telling you, he's going to tell you that today, if you have any value or belief in the Bible, there is a test that he gives again and again and again and again. That test that he gives us, it's called the tithe test. It's the test of whether or not we will return to him 10% of what is his. Last week we looked at the fact that what all we have is all things God's given us. We're born in a free country. That's something God gave us. We didn't choose it. If we've been involuntarily inhaling and exhaling on our own, we didn't choose that. He blessed us with that. There's things that you and I have that we only have because of the blessing of God. And it's hard to say which ones come because we've worked for them and which ones come because God just gave it to them. But even then, when I work for it, God gives me the opportunity to work for it. But there is a test where we are able and asked and expected by our Heavenly Father, if He is your Heavenly Father, to return to Him only 10% of what is His. Let's read in the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture verses. Are you okay with that? Are you okay? I'm going to give you a lot. I just want to make sure you understand this isn't my idea. I want to make sure you understand this isn't my idea. This is a very, very heavy thread. And here's the thing. Lives in here are going to be changed today. There are people in here, you've been stuck, and I'm going to tell you why. There's been some of us in here who just like keep hitting the wall. And I believe God's going to reveal to you what that wall is, and you're going to have a breakthrough. You are. Book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10, God says this, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no need." Pour down blessings until there is no need. And he said, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. What is he talking about here? He's talking about bring a tenth of your gross income or everything you get, a tenth to your local church. That's what he said, a tenth of your gross income to your local church. In the New Testament, they come and they bring it to the apostles at the apostles' feet. It's a place where you surrender a tenth of what is actually God's. Now, I know there's a lot of questions on this, a lot of stuff going on. Let me make sure I understand here. Today, we're not looking at what the Wall Street Journal says about money, this whole series, because the Wall Street Journal is never going to get you to get a sense of blessing. They never will. We're not looking at what Susie Orman says. I don't care what Dave Ramsey says. We're looking today at what the Bible says. And this is critical. Tithing is a test. You know, the number 10 in the Bible comes up again and again and again. God regularly tests in the Bible, or there's tests in the Bible surrounding the number 10. When the nation of Israel was in bondage to Egypt, there were 10 plagues. 10 plagues to test Pharaoh's heart. The commandments, there are 10 of them. The commandments not only are rules for lives, they're tests about whether or not we will obey who God is. Israel in the wilderness, as they're wandering in the wilderness, there are 10 tests, 10 times God tests them in the wilderness. Jacob, one of the heroes of the faith, Jacob is working for Laban in order to get one of his daughters. He wants Rachel, and Laban, his future father-in-law, changes his wages 10 times. He has a test 10 times whether or not he actually wants to wait for the daughter that he actually is going to get. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, he gives Pharaoh a test and says, how about you test me and I fast, I eat the way I want to eat for 10 days and see whether or not this is healthy or not. This is a test that Daniel goes through. In the New Testament, we have 10 virgins who are tested. They're tested whether or not they have oil inside of their lamps. There's also in the book of Revelation, 10 days of testing in the book of Revelation. Now, this is just a lot of Bible stuff. Just so you know, if you don't know all these stories, I'm sorry if I'm just breezing over the top of them, because all of these stories are awesome. I wish I could give a whole series on all of them right now. I'm just saying, you know, this is a regularly constant. And another one, how many apostles were there? 12. Got that one. Shoot. Well, there's 12, but one was a dud, so we'll call it 11 and round it down to 10. So there was 10 apostles. There's always a... When God tests us, what he's doing is he's looking to see, do you really want me? It's a test. Do you really believe that I have blessed you with this all that you have? Because if you do, then 10% going back to me and my work should be easy. It's a test of, do we really love God and own our faith? Do we own it? As a dad, I'm a dad of 3 adult children. Very thankful for all of my children. And I'll tell you, I start crying if I think about it too much. In every one of my kids' lives, One of the most proud and moving moments of my relationship with them, or one of my life really, is when I found out that one of my kids tithed. Last time I found this out at Thanksgiving a couple years ago, my son was just talking about one of the things he was thankful for Thanksgiving, and I won't tell you all that he said, but I was looking and I said, you're tithing right now? Like, not dad is giving you an allowance and making you do it. You mean you are getting your own adult big boy paycheck? And you are tithing? Yes. What it does is it's like, man, okay, I know God has your heart now. Because you can get baptized and it not be as much of a test as giving, returning back to God 10% of what he's already given. It gets personal. Tithing is a test, and tithing is biblical. I want us to see how strong and consistent this strain is throughout the entire Bible. We know that God is love. How do we know God is love? The Bible. The Bible tells us. No one else would tell. The Bible is what tells us God is love. We know that we should not steal, not murder, all that kind of stuff, because the Bible says that. We have the Ten Commandments. We know that we should love our neighbor as ourself. Love, go out of our way, do unto others as you would have them do to you. We know this by the Bible. We know that we should pray for our enemies. It's the way to release bitterness. And we know this through the scriptures, right? And the same scriptures that tells all those things that are helpful and is only contained in the scriptures or is the same place, the same source that consistently again and again tells us as God's children, if we want to be a child that's under the blessing of God, that is in the zone of blessing for God, this is something we will do. I know when I give this, people say, well, isn't this an Old Testament thing? Isn't this a law thing? It's a law thing. Law thing meaning when nation of Israel got established as a country, then God put them in their law system. And so this law should be for them back then. Well, no, I'll show you this. Because the tithe existed long before the law existed. The tithe existed during the law. The tithe existed long after the law with Jesus. I'm going to show you this partial right now. In the book of Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, we have Abraham, key figure in the nation of Israel that's about to happen. And we see that he bumps into this guy whose name is Melchizedek. He's not a Jewish priest. There are no such things. But it's some guy's got his spiritual A game going. Let's read it. It says this, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed him. And he said, blessed be Abram, or Abraham, by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. So here we have Abraham, before the law even comes along, Abraham in his relationship with God realizes, I've got to give a tenth to this guy right here. That's 500 years before the law. 400 years before the law, we have Jacob who comes along. I mentioned a bit of his story just earlier. And it says this, and all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. He says that to Laban. I'll give you a tenth. Then we have in the law, Leviticus 27, 30 to 32, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all the pass under the herdsman's staff shall be holy to the Lord. So God's saying, hey, if you're in agriculture and I'm giving you a crop, a tenth needs to be returned to the storehouse. If you're a shepherder, a tenth needs to be returned. If you're in banking, a tenth of your paycheck needs to be returned, or your bonus, whatever it is. Then after the law, because Jesus says, I've come to fulfill the law. The reign of Jesus and Jesus' death and resurrection, when he moves, it completely says all these things that are cultural to the nation of Israel, these things aren't relevant to other followers of Jesus. But Jesus says this to these people who are incredibly religious. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. So Jesus goes, you religious people, you Old Testament law people, like, you're really anal. Like you're tithing your parsley, you're tithing your Frank's Red Hot sauce, you're tithing your cilantro, but you're neglecting that there's people who need justice, who need help. And he says this, you should have done the former, meaning you should have tithed. That's exactly what he said. You should have tithed, but you shouldn't have neglected more weightier things that you need to get onto. And giving God back a tenth, as I'll explain in a minute, isn't all that weighty. It's just not. And then in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, it says that Jesus receives our tithe. This is long after Jesus has left planet Earth. Jesus actually receives our tithe. So God receives the tithe, that we return the tithe back to him. And the storehouse is the place where it is the local church that then spends the tithe on pushing forward the agenda of God. We return it because we don't all owe any of it, and especially that 10%, we don't own that. We return that. So one of the reasons why, and I'm just going public on some things I've always believed, but I haven't been this clear with, it's why I never counsel people personally on their tithe to be giving things outside their church. Give the things outside their church. I give things, I've been way, way beyond the tithe for decades. It's great to give to other things, but you can't play God with the tithe. When we decide that I'm gonna help this missionary here, I have this buddy at work, I had a hard time here, we're not returning it, we're still playing God with it. We're not surrendering it. The test is bringing it and surrendering it. And every person who I've ever known who has an X factor with God, they settled this. What do I mean by an X factor of God? You've been around these people. It's like you're around them. You just sense the moisture of the blessing of God around them. It's a weird thing. Like they just seem to have more yeses than the average person in their prayers. They just seem to have a sense of vitality about them. There's a spiritual maturity. There's a depth about it. It's because they've been taking and passing the test, and the blessing of God is residing on their life and on their relationships. Tithing is the established, ordinary, expected, practical thing that every follower of Christ does. It's the normal, ordinary, expected, practiced, reinforced thing that every follower of Christ, and I mean follower of Christ, not people who just go to church, literal followers of Christ do. And it makes, why is it a test? Because it's hard, that's why. I mean, if it wasn't difficult, it wouldn't be a test, would it? You know, playing jump rope is not a test. Well, for some of us it is. It's a test because it's difficult. I talked about in college being hungry. Part of why I was hungry was because I was tithing. That's when I started tithing. Guy was building me spiritually, laid out much of what I'm giving you, and I was like, oh wow, I just have to do that. Part of it was that, and part of it was I was going out to eat a lot and I wasn't buying groceries, right? To do this, it's gonna take a measure of faith and it's gonna take a measure of math. You're gonna have to figure out which of that is for you today. How much is faith? How much is math? Faith to go to 10% now, faith to go to 3% and up at 2% every year. Math of, I know I have all these different premium services. Math of, I'm saving X amount. I'm not going to save that much more. I'm going to return what is God's. It's whatever your decision is, you're going to decide out what is the combination of what is faith and what is math. But all of us who pass this test, and I'm continuing to take this test and pass this test, all of us who pass this test, we have to have a measure of faith and a level of math every time. Malachi 3, 6 to 9. Back to Malachi, not Malachi, the Italian prophet, but Malachi. He says this, "For I, the Lord, do not change. I don't change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. For the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions." So it says here, God doesn't change. He doesn't change his belief on thou shalt not steal. And something he's very, very clear on, he doesn't change his belief on either. And he's talking with some people here who, to use the nomenclature of our series, who are not blessed. They're not blessed. They know something isn't going on right. And he goes, you've robbed me. And they're going, whoa, how have we robbed you? Because you've kept what is mine. The 10%, that is mine. The key terms here is does not change. Key term is tithe, tenth. Now, let's think about how crazy God is. I mean, this is crazy. I know that you think, we all think it's crazy that God would expect us to live on 90% of what we live on right now. I know we think that, but I'll tell you what's really crazy is when I talk to people who are in business or people who are heading organizations, one common challenge everybody has is capital. I've got to get capital. I've got to get to be able to grow my business. I've got to get capital. I've got to get investors. And if you spend time in the nonprofit world or anybody who has expanding business, this is a constant challenge. It comes up again and again and again and again and again. Can you imagine a banker? Bankers are good people, by the way. Let's clap for the bankers in here. Bankers never get clapped for. I'm giving the bankers a clap. Jesus actually tells stories about bankers in a positive way, okay? Bankers, investment, people who make investments, could you imagine if somebody was to make an investment in your business and they say, okay, how much you need? You need $10,000? Okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you $10,000 and here's the terms. The terms of this deal is I expect $1,000. You're like $1,000 a month, $1,000 a year, $1,000 on annual profits, $1,000 on growth of business, $1,000 as a percentage of sales. No, it's $10,000, and then I just need a one-time fee of $1,000. Oh. You're going to give me $10,000, and you're going to only require $1,000 back. That's right, that's what I'm gonna do. Well, sign me up for that. Friends, that's exactly what God does. If we believe that God actually is the one who gives all things, if we actually believe that God is aware of our situation and he has given us opportunities, exactly what he does. He gives us things. He said, now the test is, just want to see if you still know this all comes from me and your most important thing in your life is me. And the way I know that is I expect a 10% immediate return that you're not controlling. That goes right back to the local church, the place where I'm doing my business and trying to expand things and all that stuff. This is crazy. That's crazy because what happens is when we do that with God, we send him a signal. It says, God, over here, God. Here's a person who wants more of you. God, over here, God, over here. Here's a person who wants more of what you want to bring. God, over here is a person that when you send things my way, you can trust me. It's a test. You can trust me and I'm going to honor the things that you have given me and the things that you've done to me. This is why, second point, tithing is powerful. It is powerful. One of the other stories in the Old Testament, we have this king, and this king is just utterly blown away by what's happening as he sees the people of Israel bring forth their tithe. Here's what it says. Since they began to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, we have eaten and have had enough and have had plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left. It's amazing that I still have 90% left. 90% left. It is better to be blessed on 90% than to live on 100% that isn't blessed. Let's say it again. It is better to be blessed on 90% than be living on 100% that isn't blessed. Because this is a powerful, powerful thing. I just ran across this story. I hear these stories regularly. And I know some of us in here, some of us are, oh man, this is, others of us in here, I know your heart is erupting inside of you, positively. You're like, oh my gosh, finally other people around here are gonna help with this. This has been amazing for me. Those of us who passed this test, we can't hear this enough because we know it's been a source of experiencing God, understanding God. And I just heard this woman's story, and I think you'll appreciate hearing from Hope.
So I moved over from England a year ago last Monday. I came to work at Cincinnati Children's as a researcher. I came with my boyfriend at the time, very excited, and unfortunately we ended up breaking up in the first week, and so I had to find somewhere else to live. I ended up finding Uptown. I got involved with young adults there, and they've really just become the people I've relied on for support, that are kind of like my family away from home. Before I came to America, I was kind of a borderline Christian in the sense that I wasn't all in. And I've always known that there's a 10% rule, you should give 10% of your income to the church. I just basically ignored it and was like, eh, it's okay, I don't need to. And so I think I ended up giving $5 like every paycheck, which is pittance. And so over the last year, I've kind of realised, God's kind of been saying to me, you need to step up your game, like you need to give 10%, it's the right thing to do. And throughout this kind of the same time, I've had kind of issues being unable to kind of trust God and know how to do that practically. So I was with my friend Joel, and he kind of brought up the topic of tithing. And he asked me about money and said, you know, do you tithe? Do you give any of your income away? And I kind of sheepishly said, like 0.5% of my income goes away. Kind of told me, it's a good thing to do. It's in the Bible for a reason. And so when I got to work, I went on the Crossroads app and I upped my very small percentage to 10%. And literally that day, I felt like a wave of calm come over me. And it was all because I'd like practically like done something to put my trust in God, which wasn't just praying or reading the Bible, but it was a physical thing that I could like give. So later on that day, I heard from my boss that I was gonna get a promotion in the new year, and I had a pay rise that same day. So it was, yeah, it was all God. So before I would tithe, I knew I wanted to like deepen my relationship with God, but I was always so hesitant about giving money. You know, it's a big corporation, it's a big church. What happened to it? I don't know. What made me shift my opinion probably was just God. Now that I am tithing, you know, I kind of wish I did it sooner. I think having that trust that I now feel between God and myself is incredible. And if I had that a year when I was going through that, you know, rough breakup, to now I feel much more, I guess, cemented in my faith. And there's an idea of being all in. You kind of got to be all in your faith. And this is just one way you can be all in, is to give 10%.
Isn't that cool? Now, the blessings of God go way beyond finances. The blessings of God include the relationships God gives us. It includes the health that we have. The blessings of God include a sense of awareness of God. The blessings of God are a joy that we could have that he blesses us with. It's opportunities. It could be sunshine. I mean, the blessings of God are very, very... The blessings of God include his son who's died on the cross for us. I mean, they're loads go on and on and on and on. But those of us who tithe, we also know, like, when something happens financially, it just, like, it turns our head. But like, normally, if we get a new friend, that doesn't necessarily turn our head like, oh my gosh, God showed up, though he very well may have there. But when we have something happen financially, it just makes us go, wow. Like, that was part of Hope's story. And I hear those again and again. My most recent one was, a couple months ago, I was driving my wife's car, and we were going out to eat someplace, and as we were going, it was raining, and a car lost control, crossed the center yellow line, smashed into me, put us into the guardrail, and totaled our car, which right there, where we're going, I'm blessed. Like that, game of inches, I'm dead right now. Head-on collision, game of inches, my wife and I mean, I don't know how good airbags are when you're going that fast, but geez, you know, was that the blessing? Then I'm like, oh my gosh, whenever you have an accident, your first hope is no one's hurt, right? And then what's the second one? It's not my fault, is it? Because I don't want my rates to go up, right? That's the second big question. This one is not my fault. The insurance company, you know, guaranteed that, said that was the case. But here's the problem. They never give you enough money, right? Well, to get the next car that you need. I find out that day, the last Raids Crossroad had given me 2.5 years ago, I hadn't, something happened after the first paycheck where it reverted back to my previous pay. I didn't realize it because I don't stare at my stuff. I don't balance my checkbook. That really freaks some of you guys. I just don't notice. And they come 2.5 years later, go, I'm sorry, we owe you back pay. You're kidding. Did they find it just in time because God said, hey, this guy is going to need it? Or did God 2.5 years ago go, I'm just going to save this because I'm going to put this in an interest-free account for you because you're going to need this later. I don't know, but I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. Now, this is what's also very, this is very difficult, but I'm going to read it anyway. I don't know if you caught this last time. Here it is. Malachi 3:9. Here it goes again. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Though there is a devourer that's trying to devour you and I. There is a devourer. He's and if you feel like you're not getting ahead, there's a reason you're not getting ahead. Maybe there's a devourer that's trying to devour your crops, devour your life, devour any progress. God says here, so I'll let him speak for himself, when we don't pass the test and return 10% of his money, we come under a curse. Now, this doesn't mean that God's putting a hex on us and voodoo and stuff like that. It just means that we're out from the blessed zone. It means God makes a mental note like, oh, I'm not going to step in front of the devourer on your part. I'm not going to go out of my way to stop certain things that could devour you. And I know folks like this. Like, it's a regular point of discipleship conversation I have with them. Are you tithing? No, I'm working on it. I mean, you said that 3 years ago. What are you? And life just doesn't seem to work. There's frustration after frustration. You try to patch together. Is it just because of this? I don't know. But I'll tell you, in my experience, this is a huge, huge thing. And God says this to incentivize us. He says this to incentivize us to come into his ways. There are people who tithe, and they say, God has blessed me, and he's still blessing me. And then there are people who don't tithe, and we say, I can't afford to tithe. Those of us who tithe go, God's blessed me, I can't afford not tithe. And those of us who don't tithe go, I can't afford to tithe. Robert Morris, who wrote the book that I've been basing much of this material on, he says this, you will never be able to afford to tithe until you tithe. Because tithing is what breaks the curse and rebukes the devourer. So I would just ask you just to consider, could it be the reason why you keep heading into a wall? Could it be the reason why there just seems to be one? Could it be as simple as this test not being passed? You won't know until you do it. You won't know until we try it. Now I'm gonna do a little visual object lesson here. The three people I'm preaching right now in Oakley. So the three people who've had the most visible roles in Oakley, I want to invite up right now today. Justin and Courtney and Victor, I'm going to have them come on over here. I'm doing everything I can to make sure we understand this. I mean, if we don't want to do this, that's okay. That's your decision. But I want to make sure that we understand it. So I forgot your name.
Justin.
Person I know best of everybody here. Hey, it's stressful to be up here. And Courtney and Victor. Okay, this is a weird thing, but let's just imagine this. Hey, I've got a lot of resources. I've got a lot of money. Let's imagine I'm incredibly powerful, very connected, and I'm going to go away for a while. And here's what I'm going to do. I need to take care of Lib. I need to take care of my wife. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you each $10,000 every month. And what I want you to do is I want you to return 1,000 of that to my wife to take care of her, and then you do with whatever you want for the rest. Okay? All right, good, good. Now imagine after 3 months, I go back, I talk to Lib, I say, hey, Lib, how are things going? Is the resources coming in and everything? And she says, well, Victor, like, he's on it, man. Every month, first of the month, like, bam, $1,000 shows up. It's just always, oh, awesome, Victor, yeah. And Courtney, he says, Courtney, like, it's really weird with Courtney, man. She sends me some months 1,000. She sends me other months 1,100, sometimes 1,500. But it's like, it's all that, but it is all good. It's awesome. I said, great. How about Justin? Well, Justin started off real well. He hit the first month, and then it was like 700. And then it was 500. And he's just kind of like, oh, okay, so what am I going to do? What am I going to do here? And I know that's not the case because I check what he ties. I do. And it's not the case. You laugh, dead serious. When you come on staff at Crossroads, it's like the expectation that you don't commit adultery. It's an expectation that you tithe on gross to your church, just like great, great people do who aren't part of church. So I know these guys are all, you can give him a hand on that. Most of our staff goes above and beyond that. So what I'm going to do with Justin is I'm going to go, hey man, I'm going to take what I'm giving you and I'm going to have to be shifting that elsewhere. Because I got to take care of my wife. I'm going to have to be doing, and by the way, that job interview you have coming up, I know the owner of that company pretty well. It's probably not going to go very well for you. Because I'm going to have to do something that causes him to not hire you because you haven't been that faithful, you know, because I'm pretty connected, you know, right? That's God anyway. So, that's it. Thank these guys for being here right now. So, now, interesting, I talked about Lib, my wife. She's my wife, very personal to me. Jesus says that his church is his bride. It's the bride of Christ. Tithing is probably a lot more personal to Jesus than you and I realize. It's very personal to him. And he wants us to be in the right place. He wants to be in the right place. Now let me read this verse again because it's so amazing. Malachi 3:10. Bring the full tithe in the storehouse, let me be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test. That's crazy. It's the only place in the Bible God says, you can put me to the test. Put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. And if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. It's a two-way test. God tests us. God allows us to test him. Now, I put a lot of thought and we've put a lot some prayer in this, and I want to do everything in my power to get those of us who want more of God and to go through a wall to get you to be able to pass this test and to sense and experience the blessing of God in different ways. And so our board decided to go ahead, we'll take the test too. Here's what we're going to do. For anybody who wants to start tithing, who has never tithed before, you can take the tithe test for 90 days. And if you get back to us after 90 days saying, I just didn't sense God, didn't work for me, we're going to refund you everything you gave in the last 90 days. You can go to crossroads.net/tithe test. Crossroads.net/tithe. So I can't, it's hard to think about any more barriers I could lower, right? Knowledge barrier, you know, inspiration, lowering the barriers. And the barrier of, hey, if you don't see God show up, you're going to come back to us and we're going to give you back everything you've given in the last 90 days. You can go on crossroads.net/tithetowns. This is for new tithers, by the way. And probably should do it for everybody, but we just set it up for new tithers, and there's instructions on it. And we're also going to be able to come to you, and we're going to give you encouragement and all that kind of stuff as you go forward. It's going to be really, really cool. So my heart for you, my desire for you is to move. Take a step. Take a step in that direction. Have God see you take a step. If it is right now by faith, I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off and 10% now, that's obviously past movement. Or if it's a step of God, I see my way through it this way, and here's how I'm going to start this step today. And then, okay, but get moving. Don't make this a philosophical thing. Our philosophies never lead to our blessings. Our lives, our choices lead to our blessings. Malachi 3:12, then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight. I want your life to be a life of delight. That's what I want. I want my life to be a life of delight. I want people to look at people at Crossroads and say, how delightful those people are. Because there's just something special happening. And part of how that happens is this test. Let's spend a moment just collecting our thoughts. praying, being silent, and see if God seals or affirms or confirms anything that was talked about, or maybe just put something else in your mind that he wants you to have in your mind right now. And if you want to do that, what I do sometimes when I do this is just put my hands, palms up in my lap, because I want to receive. So God, pray that you would direct our heart right now as we direct our mind. Lord, you're good to give words of instruction. I think you've given that to us today. You're good to give us second chance and third chances. You're good to give us words of life. Lord, we want to pass anything, any test you give us, we want to pass it. And God, I trust that I passed the test you've given me to give this material, and as winsome and as non-judgmental and non-manipulative way as possible. That was my heart, that was my goal, and I'll leave you to grade my paper. Your people, Lord, do with them what you will. I pray these things according to the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Exhale. Good. Man, more good stuff coming. We'll see you next week. Have a good weekend.